Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni. This is The Shocking Details.
Okay, gotta get in character. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I am Joe, joined as usual by
a zombie.
Yeah, a zombie named Vincenzo. Yes.
Yeah, some of you may have seen on social media, this episode's dropping a little late because I've been really sick.
Yeah, and also it's going to be a little shorter because, you know, Vincenzo needs his rest. So
we're going to
talk real fast, get this in the can for y'all. And,
but it is a good story.
Yeah, it's an interesting little mystery, I think. So yeah, let me get the lead in here. This is another World War II mystery. Although, in a sense, it's not really a World War II mystery, because it appears that it began decades earlier.
It is just World War II adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. But it became a mystery during World War II, let's just say. It sort of laid there quiescent for, you know, decades. And then World War II came along and just, you know, tore the lid right off of it. Yeah. So our tale begins during the Blitz. Your line.
Whoa, Joe, what's the Blitz? I don't know what that is.
The Blitz. Yes, the Blitz. It's not a beer.
High on cough syrup.
Yeah, I know. Well, most of our listeners know this, I think, but for those who don't, the Blitz was a German bombing campaign against England in 1940 and 41, World War II. And most people think of the Blitz as the London Blitz, but the city of Liverpool actually got its own Blitz. It started in August of 1940. And continued through January 1942. So they were sporadic bombing raids. Sometimes, you know, just a few bombers. Sometimes, you know, like 100 bombers would venture over the city and bomb the crap out of them. But Liverpool suffered very heavy casualties in the war, second only to London. And there were a lot of casualties in London.
Oh, come on, Joe. That's not a mystery.
Patience.
During one of the German air raids, an old paint factory dating back to the Victorian era was heavily damaged, and the rubble just kind of sat there for a long time. They couldn't immediately get to it to clean up.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, you know.
Yeah.
They were busy.
So in the summer of 1943, American troops were cleaning up the city, and the site of the factory in question was on Boundary Street East at its intersection with Great Homer Street.
I know. They named the street after Homer. How do you like that?
It's named after Homer, Alaska.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's named after the poet. Anyway, all the rubble is gone. There's nothing to see.
Oh, of course. I think the original shops and buildings that got bombed or are torn down and gone too. You can still find this on Google Maps. But again, you know, all the good stuff is gone. But when the troops cleared the site, they didn't remove all the rubble. Remember, we were all still at war. So limited resources and time. And one item they left behind was a steel cylinder that was about 7 feet long and 19 inches in diameter. It looked to have been part, maybe, of a ventilation system. That's what a lot of people assumed, because it was pulled out of a building. So what else could it have been, right?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so this cylinder was capped on one end by a flat steel plate. It was made of 9-gauge steel, which is about 4 millimeters thick, which seems kind of heavy duty to me for a ventilation system. But on the other hand, What the hell do I know, you know, about ventilation systems? But I guess
more than me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that being part of a ventilation system is the most likely explanation for the presence of the cylinder in the rubble of a bombed out building, right?
Right.
What else could it have been, right?
Maybe it was not part of the building. Maybe someone snuck it into the rubble after the bombing.
Yeah, maybe. Because, you know, actually, when you think about it, if it was part of a ventilation system, you'd think that there would have been more tubing like it in the rubble.
That's true.
You know, and there doesn't appear to be. There's no other of this, no other cylinders like or tubing like this stuff laying around. So, you know, maybe it was something that was not at all related to the building itself, but somebody had acquired it and stashed it in the building for some reason, maybe just for scrap metal value. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But anyway, we don't know what the cylinder was for. But another puzzle I have about it is, why was it not hauled away for scrap? This is the middle of the war. I thought they were like hungry for scrap metal so they could melt it down and make tanks and, you know, battleships and stuff.
True.
Right?
You'd think they'd be, I think they'd be into grabbing that.
Yeah, you would. But for some reason, they just sort of set it aside and there it sat for a long time. But anyway, never mind all that hoo-ha. Here's more on the tube. As I said, it was capped on one end. And during the clearing process, they were using a bulldozer, which ran over.
It was just the American troops that did this, or was this later when they cleaned up?
I believe this was the troops when they were clearing the rubble up. They had a bulldozer. Yeah. And there was one end that was capped. The other end was opened. But that end got run over by the bulldozer, so it got squished shut nice and flat, right? So the tube, the cylinder was kind of sort of sealed. I mean, not airtight or anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was closed off at both ends. Anyway, it was pulled from the rubble during the clearing process, set to one side. And and there it sat for like 2 years. It was pretty much ignored. Although one local reported to the papers later that he had seen people use it as a bench from time to time. And somebody else reported that some local kids that were seen a few times rolling it around just for fun.
But then one day they broke it open and it was full of treasure, like the one the Forrest Fenn guy had.
Yeah, exactly, right? Nah, screw that guy. It was something better than treasure.
A dead body.
Yes, there was a
body. I know what we do on this podcast.
Yeah? What?
Talk about dead bodies that get found in weird places.
You know, actually, it's not what we're here for, but we seem to wind up talking about them anyway a lot, huh? Yeah.
I feel like, you know, every fourth or fifth episode of this podcast could be titled, "That body shouldn't be there."
I know. Yeah. That body should be here. But So what happened with our cylinder?
Well, the cylinder didn't break open.
Not quite. It's been reported in some tellings of the tale, but that's not quite what happened, really.
Yeah. So in July of 1945, some kids were peering through the opening in the crushed end because it wasn't completely sealed.
Yeah.
And there was an opening of about 4 inches wide, and the cylinder had been out in the elements, so no doubt it was kind of, you know, starting to rust around the edges or whatever.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah. So the kids looked in there, and they saw what looked like a shoe.
Ooh, really?
That's kind of morbid.
Was it attached to a human being?
Not that they could tell.
Yeah.
But they told this to their parents, who told the cops, and the cops showed up at the site with an acetylene torch, and they cut open the cylinder, and... that body shouldn't be there.
Yes, there was. It wasn't actually a body. It was a skeleton.
Skeleton.
Not at all the same thing.
They're pretty similar.
Yeah, skeleton, in case you don't know it, is a dead body that's been antiqued.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know what a skeleton is, look it up on the internet and go, oh my God, it's inside me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway, what's kind of funny is they'd been using the messed up cylinder is a bench for 2 years, and it had a body inside it.
I know, right?
People would have been creeped out. Of course, podcasters like Joe find this sort of thing funny.
Oh, so absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
So the police took in the tube and its contents for a closer examination.
Yeah, you're going downtown, tube. That's right.
They arrest the skeleton?
I know, not the skeleton, no. They arrested the cylinder. I'm sure, yeah. So the skeleton, after a closer examination, was determined to have belonged to an adult male, 6 feet in height. The age was somewhat indeterminate, anywhere between 25 and 50. And there was a fracture at the base of the skull on the left side. So, that's a little possible indication of foul play there, wouldn't you think? You know,
it would seem like. I mean, I guess I'd have to know if the fracture got there from, you know, You can kind of tell if it's been done post-mortem or antemortem, I think is what you call that. I haven't heard one way or the other when this fracture got there.
Yeah.
And rolling it around could have done a lot.
Well, that's it, too, because actually
could have done a lot.
That's possible. Yeah, no, totally. And actually, the body was laying in the cylinder. It almost appeared like this guy had and was using a brick as a pillow. Like this, there was a brick inside there, you know, at the same location as the head that had been wrapped in burlap sacking. So it kind of looked like maybe the guy was using this brick for a pillow. So it's possible, you know, especially with, you know, it was flung around by a bomb, and then afterwards the neighborhood kids are rolling the thing around and that brick is just sort of, you know, flopping around inside that cylinder. That could have been it. That could have done it, you know. Yeah. But there is also, I should point out, there's some conflict on this point between sources. Like, for example, Wikipedia actually has a page on this little mystery, and they claim that the left base of the skull was missing. The left base was missing. And I'm not sure that I believe this.
Okay.
Because if this was a murder, say somebody was coshed over the head and then stuffed into the cylinder to hide the body, right? There would be no skull piece missing because it would be held in place by, you know, your skin, your flesh would hold the whole thing in place.
Oh yeah. And temporarily.
I mean, eventually, you know, your flesh will rot away and then it might fall off the skull. It's going to be a long time before that happens, of course. And the only way it could really be totally missing from the tube, I would think, is if the body was already a skeleton when it was put into the cylinder.
Yeah.
But you know, again, that probably Wikipedia is just wrong.
Did you happen to look up the source that the wiki editor had referenced?
No, I don't think there was a reference for that particular
claim. Citation needed.
Yeah, probably was one of those. There's a lot of those in Wikipedia. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, if there was a piece of skull missing, then yeah, there was a skeleton when they stuffed it in there.
That's curious. That's interesting.
It would seem like that to me.
All right, so here's some notable facts.
Yeah.
The skull had become detached from the torso.
Ooh,
likely makes sense.
Yeah, that's macabre.
Banging around. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's just, yeah. Doesn't mean there was a decapitation, damn it.
Not necessarily.
No.
The body had been dressed in a Victorian era suit, which did appear to be expensive.
Hmm.
On one finger was a gold ring marked London, 1859.
Hmm.
In the suit pockets, I believe, there were a handkerchief and a rail ticket dated June 27th, 1885. And we say, I believe, because all I know for sure is that when these items were found, the location they were found in, we don't really know. So they may have been laying loose inside the cylinder, especially the rail ticket. That could be kind of odd, like if all that stuff was just tossed in there after him.
It would be. And certainly you're not going to crawl out of the tube for a nap or whatever to hide and then just pull stuff out of your pockets. Besides which, you know, in a 19-inch tube, it'd be pretty hard to get stuff out of your pockets. It'd be pretty hard to move at all. Move your arms.
Yeah, in a 19-inch tube, you're not moving around much at all.
No. Yeah. Which is weird. I mean, why somebody would voluntarily climb into something like that? To me, that would be an intensely claustrophobic experience.
Yeah. Well, and you'd also have to think that if someone were to climb, I'm sort of jumping the gun on theories, but if someone were to climb anything like that, they probably wouldn't do it in a full suit.
Well, that is true.
If a workman had some need to go down there and then like didn't tell him where he was and he just got stuck down there forever, you probably would not be going in a suit.
No, you wouldn't wear a nice expensive suit into that. That makes no sense at all, does it? You know?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, see, what else did they find in the cylinder? They found a set of keys. There were seven keys. They never did really establish what they were to. And they were kind of corroded, apparently. And they also found a couple of diaries, one dated 1884, the other 1885. But alas, the writing in them was too faded to be legible. And yeah, I don't think they really did much in terms of trying to restore the writing. And I don't know what means they had in those days anyway.
Yeah.
I assume they got chucked out or lost at some point. It's too bad they're not still around today. And perhaps through the miracle of modern science, we could find a way to restore the writing and actually see what was written in those diaries.
That'd at least get cool. Pieces of it, you know, fragments.
Yeah, I know it might be, but as far as I know, those things are lost to the ages. Yeah, let's see, what else did they find?
Well, this is tantalizing. They found a postcard.
Yeah,
postmarked July 8th, 1885. It was from Birmingham, and it was from one A.E. Harris and two, one T.C. Williams.
Huh.
That seems really good.
That is intriguing too. And again, no indication of what was written on the postcard. And, you know, maybe not much of anything. Maybe it's just a wish you were here kind of thing or something like
that. Yeah, but even if it was kind of irrelevant, you know, give my best to the missus or whatever, it could still tell us something about the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know, why would anybody send a postcard from Birmingham anyway? What is there to take a picture of and put on a postcard in Birmingham?
People used to just do that. Now we send text messages or something like that.
Ah, postcards. What do you mean to Birmingham? I remember postcards. Jeez. Yeah. They still sell postcards?
Yes, yes, they do.
Oh, okay, that's good. I like postcards still, even though I haven't sent one in years. I probably should. Watch your mail. You might just get one.
My German friends are very diligent about sending everyone they know a postcard when they're traveling.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's actually very sweet, and I wish I was like that, but my brain doesn't even think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it is kind of cool when you got friends on the road somewhere and they shoot you a postcard. It is kind of cool to get them.
It is actually really cool. I hate that I don't do it.
Yeah.
But I don't. I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, we're off the mark here. Let's see what else was in that cylinder. There was a brooch, which is weird. Yeah. Men don't wear brooches, do they?
Oh, no, that's not necessarily true. Probably most Victorian era men wouldn't be wearing a brooch or a brooch. But you know, like back in the days when men wore little capes and shawls and stuff, isn't that basically a brooch, what you put on there?
I suppose that's true. Yeah. So, anyway, let's see what else. There was some paperwork in there.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And this was, the most tantalizing clues here. Let's see. There were some account sheets from TC Williams and Company, Liverpool. So, TC Williams and Company, Liverpool. There was also a receipt from the same TC Williams and Company, Liverpool, which would seem to be, indicative that it was this TC Williams character who the postcard was addressed to,
right,
has some relation to this little mystery, don't you think?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it would indicate to me that's a clue.
Yeah, well, so they researched who T.C. Williams was, and he was a paint and brush manufacturer. This all kind of makes sense with the paint factory, right, if you remember that.
Yeah.
His name was Thomas Cregan Williams. His business failed in 1884, and he was declared bankrupt in March of 1884.
Yeah.
And subsequently vanished from history. No records could be found of him after his bankruptcy, suggesting that he either changed his name, skip town to start a new life elsewhere, or ended up in the tube, I guess, right?
Possibly that, yeah. I think at the time it was just assumed that he had skipped town because of the bankruptcy. And
yeah,
remember,
the debts.
I think at this point, this is like 1884, did they still have debtor's prison?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
they for certain would have. I'm not up enough on it to know if TC Williams would have been a candidate for it. I think it had been reformed pretty well by that point.
Mm.
But anyway, debtor's prison was always to put poor people in prison, not rich factory owners.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it took. I know that not just everybody was thrown in there. Maybe you had to be like incredibly irresponsible and really write a lot of bad checks before they toss you in debtor's prison. But if he was a candidate, that certainly would be a positive motivation.
True.
For getting the hell out of town.
Right,
But and that was kind of, I think, the assumption at the time when he vanished in 1885, that he had skipped town to escape his debts.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that was kind of the conclusion of the coroner's inquest.
Do we know where the TC Williams paint and brush manufacturer was located? Was it that building?
No, actually, there's never nobody that I know of. Nobody's ever actually established that was a building.
Interesting.
That was owned or used by the company. Although you never know. I mean, in business, even today and back then, I'm sure sometimes you run out of space and you wind up leasing a little extra space for storage or something or another in some other building that you don't own.
Well, it could have been someone he had business dealings with.
Yeah, it could have been. Just,
even if he wasn't using it for his own production, somebody bought chemicals from or something like that.
Yeah, or just somebody that he happened to know. There's no actual, it's not totally confirmed that building was any kind of a paint and or brush factory back in the day.
Well, yeah, I thought you said that it was. They said it was a paint factory.
Well, I mean, some people have said, in tellings of the story, I guess when I wrote the script out, I should have pointed that out. It was like, it was assumed by many to have been a building occupied by his business, but I have never seen the actual, I'd never seen it established that he actually had any sort of a business in that building, that particular building.
Interesting. Okay. Right.
But, I think there were just, people were thinking that just, the records were a little spotty back in those days. And so he may at some point have you know, own the building or lease the building or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Who knows? But that was just an assumption that a lot of people made, and it sort of made its way to the general telling of the story.
Gotcha.
But
okay.
We don't know for sure. You know?
All right. So let's talk about G.C. Mort.
G.C. Mort, the Liverpool coroner. What an awesome name for a coroner, awesome. Don't you think?
Yeah. So Mort the coroner.
Yeah.
He began a coroner's inquest on July 19th, 1945, and it ran for a month. The cause of death was undetermined, though if there was a fracture at the base of the skull and it was antemortem, then that probably would have been a pretty big clue as to what happened to the dude. The date of the death was also a bit up in the air. A Scotland Yard pathologist stated that it was conceivable the body was only 10 years dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it also at that time, it could have been much earlier.
Though. Yeah, like decades earlier. Yeah.
The inquest concluded the date of death at 1885. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you were killed in, 1933 or whatever, I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't be still carrying around your train tickets from the 1880s.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
So I'm sure they based this off of the postcard and the rail ticket.
Although thinking about it, you know, if you wanted to commit a murder, like say in 1930, then, and so you murder your victim. And you hide the body and maybe, and just, you know, in a place where it's not going to be discovered until it's kind of rotted and unrecognizable. And you stash some stuff like this, like a rail ticket from many decades before in there and some other
which
stuff.
Assumes a person's left no paper trail in the last decade.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But what I'm saying is that the body that they find, they're going to find things like a rail ticket and a postcard and some other stuff dated 1885. And they're going to think, oh, this person died in 1885. And as for this guy that Joe really hated, who vanished in 1937, well, we don't know nothing about where he went to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah, you can throw the trail off that way. There is a possibility. We'll talk about that more in theories, that maybe this evidence was planted. Maybe by somebody. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but it was presumed by the coroner and pretty much everybody else that Thomas Cregan Williams was the mysterious skeleton. But it's never been proven. And I don't know how you'd prove it today. Actually, I suppose what you could do is his son, he actually had a son born in 1859.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so if you wanted to dig him up and match this skeleton to the son's skeleton by DNA, I guess that'd be one way to figure it out.
I guess so. Well, I mean, I'm sure if we could do genealogy on Williams and if there was any viable DNA left in the teeth or something of that skeleton, you could find his living ancestors and try to trace it back to him.
Yeah. Depending on how many ancestors he's got by the time they searched they started searching death and burial records, for the inquest. The son apparently was already dead. He would have been, if alive, he would have been like 86 at this time. But he had already passed and he was buried, I think, in Leeds. But they searched death and burial records for all of England and Wales for T.C. Williams and they found nothing. They found his wife. She was buried in Liverpool, but by herself, not with her husband.
Right.
And they searched for other relatives and they found none. As I said, the son was already dead. So I don't know. Given the fact that there's no record of any death or burial of him and the fact that he vanished, that would seem to support the theory that he was the man in the cylinder, I guess, right? Yeah.
I think it would.
Yeah.
But the inquest couldn't determine how Williams or whoever he was even got into the cylinder in the first place.
Yeah.
Which was, as we said before, believed to originally been part of a ventilation shaft.
Yeah.
Did he, for some reason, crawl in there himself?
Was
he murdered and then the body stuffed in the air shaft to hide it?
Yeah.
Which, if it was part of the ventilation, it would be an odd place to hide a body because, I mean, it would really start stinking up the place and someone would be going looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, 200 pounds of rotting meat is going to.
Yeah.
The ventilation system is really. I mean, if you ever had a rat die in your house, you can imagine that.
Yeah, no, that's why maybe it was originally part of some ventilation system, but it had been the whole thing had been revamped and that thing was just sitting in the basement of the building. You got to stuff your body in there, whatever, or somebody, T.C. Williams or someone goes to crawl in there to hide, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that would have, otherwise that'd be another mystery. I mean, because if it was part of a ventilation system, how could the body not have been discovered way sooner? Because even if it didn't stink, it would be blocking flow.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. My conclusion is that it was not part of a ventilation system, at least at the time that the body went in there.
I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah, or the person shortly to become a body went in there, one or the other. But yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had more evidence on it, but I do think they would have found more of it around there.
More of the tubing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You have to wonder if it may be part of something related to whatever manufacturing they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's really hard to believe that T.C. Williams or whoever it was entered this cylinder of his own free will.
Yeah.
Or even accidentally. I mean, why? Why would you do that? Especially given that whoever it was wearing nice clothing. Why would you crawl into a grubby little cylinder wearing your nice suit?
I mean, just don't think you would, man. If you knew how much like suits and stuff were worth back in the day, I just don't think you'd do it.
Definitely. I mean, clothing was worth a lot more back in those days.
It really was.
It was, yeah. And I don't know. And it seems unlikely that a murderer would go to so much trouble to hide the body. But at the same time, if you murdered, say, T.C. Williams, you go to hide the body, but then you leave all this evidence as to the victim's identity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was that gold ring on the finger that was worth some bucks. You know, why didn't he take that?
Yeah.
You know, somebody murdered him and stuffed him in there. I mean, you know, I see hiding the body, but the thing about it is like, that doesn't seem like a great hiding spot to me. I mean, number one, it would be tough to get the body in there to begin with into that skinny mm-hmm. little tube. But then on top of that, this is a building that people are using and stuff. And, and that thing is laying around. Somebody sooner or later is going to pick it up to move it out of the way, or maybe want to, you know, sell it for scrap or whatever. And they're going to notice, hey, there's a corpse in here. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be probably sooner rather than later, the way these things usually work out, at least for me.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, so I don't know why he would crawl into it. I don't know why anybody would put him in there.
Well, I think that we should speculate about that stuff in the theories section.
Well, we should. So that, but this is our mystery though. So who was the body in the cylinder? And why was he in the cylinder?
That's a good question. Let's hear from some sponsors.
Let's do that. Yeah, let's hear some sponsor talk here, and then we'll be right back.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
And we're back. So we got a few theories here. You got a favorite, Benson?
No. Yeah. No, I do, but I'm not gonna give it to you yet.
Okay. Well, let's see.
No, not yet.
One possibility that's come up is that maybe it was suicide. You know, perhaps it was T.C. Williams in that cylinder.
Yeah.
And he was in despair over the destruction of his business, and you know. Actually, his business was pretty successful.
I'd be interested to know more about his business. I wish we did.
Yeah, and why it went under, et cetera. But for some reason, it did. And sad, kind of tough to go from rich to poor. And, you know.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't be if he did kill himself, he certainly wouldn't be the first person to do it under those circumstances. Like, imagine the situation. Like, maybe he goes to this place that, you know, where his company has leased stuff in the past. He's familiar with the place. Maybe he has a key even. In fact, he probably does. And he goes in there and takes some poison and then crawls into a tight little tube to hide himself away. And that's possible, you know.
I don't think it's totally unreasonable.
Yeah, no, it's not. And that would explain, too, why he wore the nice suit, you know.
That's true. Why not?
You know, you're killing yourself. Why do you care if you get your suit all filthy, you know?
Big
freaking deal. But of course, I don't know if the tech that they had back in 1945 would have allowed a total pharmacology exam on a skeleton. I mean, I'm sure they could detect some common poisons. Yeah. And they probably tested for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they could detect heavy metal, but I think more complex poisons would be probably pretty tough to look for, given what little I know about the forensic investigation at the time.
Yeah, no, I think that, they would be definitely looking in the soft tissue for that kind of stuff. And the soft tissue, of course, was pretty much gone entirely by the time they found the skeleton. But suicide's a possibility. And of course, that would explain it, because it's like the stuff that he had in the tube with him was kind of odd. Like, a couple of diaries and some papers from his company identifying, his company, T.C. Williams. It's like, but if he anticipated that, when they found his body, it'd be a little worse for the wear, they wouldn't know who the hell he was. Well, this gives everybody some identifying stuff. They can, to figure out who he was and give him a proper burial and everything with a grave marker and everything.
Right.
So maybe
it makes sense. Yeah.
So suicide would sort of explain that stuff that he had with him in the tube. Yeah. So otherwise, that's the stuff that he had with him was mostly kind of odd,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so let's see. So that's suicide. Well, what else? What else would explain this mysterious body?
I'm going to go to the second theory, which is that it was a random derelict.
Yeah.
Just some hobo or whatever
drug addict.
Exactly. Crawled into the cylinder to sleep it off and then got asphyxiated by his own farts, as you've written. You wrote his own farts, Joe. Or paint fumes, which seems more likely, or even just carbon monoxide.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Or whatever other natural cause.
Yeah. What if the building was heated by like just an old fashioned furnace and it had a leak?
We've talked about coal gas on this pod before.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it had a leaky heat exchanger and it was like leaking carbon monoxide into the basement,
Sure.
And
there just wasn't enough air in there.
Yeah.
I think that this has a likelihood, but only if it combines with theory number three,
mm-hmm.
which is Moida.
Murder most foul.
Because, there's no way that some rando homeless person or junkie is going to end up in T.C. Williams's suit.
Unlikely.
What if somebody wanted everyone to think that T.C. Williams had died?
Yeah. Maybe T.C. Williams himself.
Exactly. Maybe the guy who was in debt.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe he wanted to put this guy in there with all of his stuff. His ring, his receipts and stuff, his diary.
And some of that stuff, of course, he could have chucked in after the fact, but
that's true. We don't really know because of how it went. But maybe T.C. Williams was facing his debt. This is, by the way, my favorite theory that I said I was going to wait for.
Yeah.
That he was, faking or not faking. He was awaiting his, bankruptcy and all these things. And he got the idea to fake his own death.
Yeah.
And escape his creditors and even get away from his wife and kids without being a financial burden. And he finds a guy who's a similar height and build, offers him some nice clothes and then.
A really nice suit. Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, you're looking good, buddy. Why don't you look over there and just right on the back of the head and stuffs him down in the cylinder along with all kinds of documents. Now, maybe this cylinder, maybe it was part of the ventilation. He's like, they're going to find him. By then, he's already going to be pretty ripe. They're not going to know who he is.
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes a body to, it depends, of course, on the environment and everything. I don't know how long it takes them to get so rotted that they're just unrecognizable.
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends, yeah.
Right, but exactly. But, he would have maybe he would have been willing to bet. Maybe it was really hot inside that factory. He figured it would just really mess it up.
Really hot, really humid, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That can happen.
Yeah.
he lucked out and no one ever found the body.
Yeah, yeah. I think he planned for the body to be found, but he hid the body just a little too well. Or maybe the people that worked in that building were just a little too negligent and a little too lax about, like, you know, cleaning up and stuff like that. And
just stayed in there for, like 60 years.
Yeah, it was 60 years. But yeah, I think his plan, if this was truly a murder committed by T.C. Williams, which is possible. And I think the plan was that it would be found in, you know, 6 months, a year. And then Edward would conclude that he was dead while he's actually, you know, skipped across the pond to America and probably become one of our ancestors. You realize that, right?
Yours, not mine.
Yeah, I think that, you know, probably my ancestors were sneakier. But anyway, but it didn't work out, you know. Nobody found the freaking body for 60 years. Oopsie.
I think that's a viable theory, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I'll tell you the one thing I would like to know more about is who the only other name that's found in there is who A.E. Harris was. We don't really know anything about him, do we?
We don't really know anything at all. Maybe he was a friend, former employee. Maybe he was a smuggler. Maybe there was some secret sign on the postcard indicating that he had booked him passage on a steamer to America or to Paris or somewhere, and so that was the heads up to T.C. Williams that he needed to, like, you know, cover his tracks, fake his death, and, you know, get ready to skip town. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe that's who it was. There's all kinds of possibilities, and maybe the postcard, maybe that's why he had it on him. I mean, because think about it, I get postcards from people. I don't usually carry them around with me.
That's true. Right? That's true.
So maybe the postcard was more than just a heads up. Maybe it was some sort of identifying document that he needed, you know?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe, maybe the postcard said something like, meet me at the paint factory.
Yeah, it could be that too. Meet me at the paint factory where I can get you to put on some nice clothes and I can bash you over the head. But the body of the cylinder was never solved. I don't know.
And to my dismay, the T.C. Williams that we suspect may have been found in the cylinder is not the same T.C. Williams who went on to found a high school in Alexandria, Virginia, for which the team there, the football team there, is named the Titans of fame of the movie Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Titans. Yeah.
And don't forget them, Joe. That's the whole point of the movie. I remember remembering the
Titans. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Not the same guy. Different T.C. Williams.
Different T.C. Williams.
Solve this one.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I do think, you know, that they should dig his body up and dig up the body of his son and compare DNA. In the skeletons.
Just do it. Just like, don't even don't even think about it. Just get out and get it done.
I think it does need to be done. I think it needs to be done. I think we'd like to know.
You go do it.
Oh, me? Go do it? No, you know,
he's over there. I'll loan you my shovel.
It's not that I'm squeamish. It's just that I'm lazy. That's a lot of digging. I bet.
It's 6 feet. You ever dug a hole 6 feet deep?
I have, and that's why I don't want to do it again. Digging holes is work.
It really is.
It is. You know, I'm always amazed, like in the movies and stuff, when somebody's, his friend has fallen, and so he grabs a shovel and starts digging a grave. And next thing you know, he's dug a really super deep grave, and he's barely broken a sweat, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, it would take me 2 days to dig a hole like that, you know?
This is why you're always leaving your bodies around, just like laying there.
That's the main reason I never became a serial killer, really. It's just too lazy, much. You know, but... But anyway, no, I think though, if they did do a comparison, and it turns out that the body in the cylinder was not related to T.C. Williams' son.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
That would be truly interesting.
Blow the barn doors off this one.
Yeah, because at that point, you got to wonder, where did T.C. Williams go?
Exactly.
And who knows? I mean, it might actually be possible through DNA to the DNA of his son to actually track where he went to. Maybe he did go. Maybe he went to America, Canada, you know, France, somewhere. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
I would love to know. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But you know, on the other hand, you know, maybe the Queen will listen to this podcast and you know, order that the graves be dug up.
Maybe. And DNA That'd be compared. Nice.
Yes, Queen Mother, if you and the corgis are listening, we implore you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And T.C. Williams, if you're listening,
Yeah.
Get in touch. We'd like to know how you became the oldest human being to ever live.
That would be good. If you're descended from T.C. Williams, then we want to hear from you too as well.
All jokes aside, that would be interesting to hear if you have any connection to this case personally.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe granddad actually fessed up to his grandkids, you know, what happened back in merry old Britain.
But no,
I don't know.
Like that's going to happen.
Yeah. But anyway, I think we're out of theories unless you've got any other stray theories.
No, I think we must lay this one to rest in its cylinder.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. So that is it for this week. Stay tuned for the usual stuff from Tess about our email and our social media and all that good stuff. And of course, please leave us a nice rating and review. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, please do that. It really helps.
Absolutely. Yeah. And other than that, I'm all done for the week. Vincent, you got anything to add?
That's everything. That is all.
All right, everybody. Well, ta-ta.
The shocking details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.